Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio Nation, it is Friday, and you are tuned in once again to the Cutting Room Floor. I am LeVar, and as always, I am joined by my lovely co-host, Mary. What's going on today?
Not a whole heck of a lot. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's Friday. Of course I'm doing good.
Of course.
So.
TGIF.
Yeah. Yes, it's time for the weekend. But we've got a lot to cover on this show today, and I would have to say, before this show starts, before I go any farther into the show, before I forget, you can catch us on Twitter at NewsCommentDTR. You can catch us on Facebook at News and Comment Network, Blog Talk Radio, LeVar. And now you can catch us on iTunes, all for the low, low cost of free. So you can take Mary and I with you, or me and Katie, or just me, or me, or any special guest. You can take us all with you on your jog. You can listen, you can laugh. Just don't fall into a manhole cover or, you know, anything like that. But take us with you and enjoy the show. And, yeah. But before I go on, I would just have to say how much I love my co-host. Love her, love her, love her.
Oh.
Now, if I actually blurted out, I love you, then that is something different. But there is an interesting study as we start on this Friday. Comes from Glamour Magazine. And no, I don't read these things. They just somehow happen to fall across my desk as I'm reading this stuff. But Glamour Magazine did a 2012 guy survey and found that a full 50% of men admitted to saying "I love you" by accident before they were meant to. The biggest excuse being it just came out. And that was 56%. And 23% said that they did it because they were drunk at the time. It's saying it during sex with 13%. It rounded out to that, those being the top three reasons for premature confessions of devotion. Now, there was another question that got a yes from over half of survey takers, saying, "I love you" first. 56% of men surveyed by Glamour said that in past relationships, they had been the first to say those words. A study published in June 2011 issue in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology produced similar results. And researchers at MIT surveyed 100 undergraduates and 47 heterosexual couples and found that in two-thirds of relationships, men were the first to say "I love you" and often think about saying it a full 6 weeks before the woman in the relationship. But the results of the MIT study also showed that those three words may have a different meaning for men and women. Men were happier to be told "I love you" if they hadn't yet had sex with a partner, while women were happier if their partners confessed their love after a sexual relationship had developed. Now, those findings suggested to researchers that men associate the phrase with physical fidelity, and women see it more as a sign of emotional intimacy and commitment. Men may be more impulsive in the way they express love, but what love means to men and what love means to women may be very different, according to the study co-author Josh Ackerman, who is the assistant professor of marketing at MIT Sloan. So, all that said, the fact that men are more likely to blurt out that phrase before they mean to doesn't mean women never will do the same. So I am asking you, my friend, have you ever said "I love you" by accident?
Have I said it by... Yes, I have. Did I... Well, I'm bad. I am one of those people that when I'm on a conversation with someone that I am very... Or on the phone with someone that I'm very close to, I usually end the conversation with, "Okay, I love you, bye." So I say I love you sometimes to people that I shouldn't, if I'm very comfortable with them, like my boss. I think I've done it to my boss at least once. I've been like, love you. Wait a second. Did I just say that to my boss? So, yes, I have blurted it out on accident. It has happened to me. And even worse is that it wasn't blurted. It was via text, which makes it even worse because it's like, whoa, hello. Oh. Hi, how are you? So it has happened in my past. Has it happened to you? Or have you done it?
No. No, it has never happened to me. And the thing is that But see, I know you don't mean it that way. That's your understanding. I know you don't mean it as in love. I know you mean it in love as a friend. You know? There's a difference of opinion there when it's said and the people know their place. Now, if you had said it probably 15 years ago, I would have been like, she really loves me. But because we know each other for so long, I know you don't mean it in that retrospect. So there's an understanding there. And it is one of those things where I was surprised that men say it first, but then again, I wasn't. Because I would think that if a woman really wanted, I guess, validation of the relationship, they would rather hear that first before committing that out and then saying that to a guy or scaring that guy. Because I think sometimes when guys hear it first, they're like, oh, my God, I don't feel the same way just yet. And then I would think that the woman would feel a little bit embarrassed if they don't get the same thing in return. So they're waiting for the guy to say it first. Am I wrong?
Right. Correct. No, you're correct.
So,
I know a lot of women that will that are adamant about, I will not say it first.
Yeah. So, yeah, it kind of seems like that's not surprising, but yet, in a way, you know, you don't expect the guys as, you know, much as we are, you don't expect us to, like, just throw it all out there. But I would think that if a guy didn't throw it all out there, I mean, it's kind of sad that 13% of these jokers said it during sex, but I think they probably said it because they were the partner was doing something that made them love them.
I hope so.
Look at the if you're really good, you're really good at that, and you'll get a ring. But joke at the time, 23%, I can see that. But then again, it just came out. You know, it's like one of those things where you might be at the amusement park, and you're like, oh, I love you. And you're like, oh, crap, what did I just say? You know? And, you know, you can't take that back then. And I think people who, if you take that back because of the reason of being drunk, I don't know, fellas. That's kind of a no-no. You have to hold up to it at that point. But there's a way of doing it. You say, hey, you know, I do love you, but, you know, at the time I was a little inebriated, but I meant it in that way that I love you, but I don't know. I'm going to stop.
There's
no
way of digging yourself out of that.
There's no way.
I don't care who you are. That hole's dug. It's done.
Never mind. Yeah, there's no way. I thought that there was a good way to talk your way out of it, but yeah, if you do give me backseat on that one, yeah, you are in a little bit of trouble. So, yes, that's a very interesting feeling from Glamour Magazine. You can find it, I guess, on newsstands now. Going completely from I love you to something entirely different. You are the owner of two dogs.
I am.
Two very interesting dogs.
Crazy. They're not interesting, they're crazy.
How far would you go to spend on your dog to make them, quote, happy?
How much would I? $0. They should be happy. They have a place to live. How much does dog food cost?
I take
very good care of my dogs. I do what I'm supposed to do as a responsible pet owner.
Well, there's a very interesting study here. An English couple was dropped more than $13,000 on a tummy tuck, facelift, and other surgeries for their dog, Junior, over the past 2 years, effectively saving him from blindness. This according to the Daily Mail. Now, the 5-year-old pooch suffers from a rare disease that causes excess skin to develop in the body, leaving Junior nearly immobile and unable to see because skin flaps that grow over his eyes. Now, the owners, Denise and David Smart, admit that some of the surgeries are strictly cosmetic rather than medically significant. And according to Denise, she said that it's taken years off of him, and he does look like a young man again. Before the operation, he was fed up and looked like a grumpy old man. Now he's more mobile, and he's got a new lease on life. That took the vet several long operations to redo his face, and in most recent surgery, to insert 39 stitches that gave him a taut tummy. Now, the couple, which has pet insurance, said that they wanted Junior to be more like his father, a Crufts dog show champion. Now, pet plastic surgery has grown in popularity over the last few years. Doctors have performed nose jobs. That's risen 25% over 3 years, totaling $2.5 million, with another $1.6 million being spent on eye lifts. There's also a procedure called nudicles, which is silicone testicles for neutered dogs who want to maintain pride and self-esteem. So my question to you is that if it would make your dog happy, would you spend upwards of thousands of dollars to do that?
No. No, my dogs, I'm sorry, I don't care what you say. I know that dogs do have self-esteem issues, I guess. I mean, but I think that's more the humans projecting onto their pets than the pets themselves. No. If it was a medically required surgery, if my dog was going to go blind because of eye flaps, then yes, I would do it. If the vet said, I have to do it because of that, sure. I'm not going to go get his tummy. Take him out to exercise. That tucks the tummy right there.
Now,
take him on a walk.
I don't own a dog. Yeah, I don't own a dog. I don't know if I ever will. But the thing is that nudicles, really? I mean, I wouldn't get him spayed or neutered at that point. Why is that? It's kind of like, okay, I did that, I feel bad. Now I'm going to spend thousands of dollars to give him a false pair or something in order to give him false hope. What?
False advertising, people.
Yes. But that false beautifuls. Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, my dog, maybe he can lick his own butt, but that doesn't mean that he cares that there's nothing there anymore. Sorry, dude.
Beautifuls. It's going to be in my vocabulary now. It's beautifuls. That move you made? That was beautifuls, man. Yeah.
New swear word. Ah, beautifuls.
Yep, it's beautiful. I don't know. I know there's pet owners that will go far to help your pet out, but when you get toward, like I said, I can understand what the eye thing. I'm all for that if you can help the dog see. But when we come to tummy tucks, I'm like you. If we come to tummy tucks and doing stuff like that, I think it's the dog owners at that point that need some surgery, probably a little bit of
lobotomy.
Surgery, but
yeah.
Yeah, just a little bit. Now,
just a drill.
I know you are.
Right.
I'm going to skip over the other story here for a second. But I want to go to a story that when I read it, this can only happen overseas. This could not happen here. And this coming from Daily Telegraph, this looks like it over in, I want to say France. I don't want to get this wrong, but Abercrombie and Fitch. I'm sorry, Italy. Abercrombie and Fitch may now have another scandal on its hands. According to the Italian newspaper Corriere della Sera, it's obtained internal emails from the preppy retailer's Milan outpost that exposed some rather draconian store policies, namely punishing employees with push-ups and squats. The Daily Telegraph has translated portions of the original article, which highlights emails sent last April in which the head of the store's loss prevention department wrote, quote, "Now every time we make a mistake, we will do 10 push-ups, squats for women. This will bring about a great result. We will learn more from our mistakes." Now, a former employee who preferred to speak anonymously confirmed that he did do plenty of push-ups in his time at Abercrombie and Milan. That's how it works there, he said. Take it or leave it. If true, this only adds to Abercrombie's history of controversial employee policies. In 2003, the company settled a suit for forcing employees to buy and wear its products while working. In 2004, they paid out $40 million in a federal class action lawsuit over discrimination against Black, Hispanic, and Asian employees. In 2009, the company was sued for forcing an employee with a prosthetic arm to work in the stockroom. And in recent years, three Muslim women have sued the retailer for not hiring or firing them because of their headscarves. Now, when reached out to Abercrombie and Fitch for comment and, you know, for an update, they still have not gotten anything, but they did send out this. They said, we have conducted an internal investigation into the matter. It appears that the reference to push-ups and squats was clearly misguided attempt at team building by an isolated loss prevention manager in one of their flagship stores. Nonetheless, shortly after the loss prevention manager's supervisor learned of the incident, it was stopped. Then they said that everything else was exaggerated and that push-ups or any other physical activity for discipline is not their policy, it never has been, and it never will be. But I've got to ask you, even if it was for just a moment, to keep your job, would you?
God, that would be a tough one. It would really have to be something that, like, I had to have that job, like, now. Like, there's no way I was going to survive to do something like that. Because that's archaic. That's that's the only word I can come up with is archaic. It's ridiculous. Really? I mean, hey, your guys are going to have really strong arms and the women are going to have toned legs, I guess. That's a good way of getting your exercise in. There's a positive thing.
Yes. I'm all for keeping my job, but I'm sorry, but if I'm going to do that, okay, I'm going to put it this way. If it's only 10, I guess it can't hurt me, but help me. And if it's only 10, but if I got to do like 30 while you've got your foot on my back, I'm about to tell you where to go.
Yeah, right. Especially if I'm wearing a
squat heel. Every job has their own thing, but yeah, I think that was a little bit too far. But I thought that was very interesting that only happened in Milan, and I'm sorry, you know, it's not going to happen in the U.S. Trust me, there'd be a lawsuit so quick.
Right.
That would probably have pitched what to do. So
head spinning.
I don't know. Thank you. But on to something even more fun. If you were a fan of the 1990s Nickelodeon, you better have a seat because Figure It Out is coming back. And the network announced more than 40 new episodes of a popular game show, which featured a panel of celebrities attempting to guess the young contestant's special talent. Kind of give you a old feedback into it. Figure It Out is a show that celebrates kids and their wonderful and often bizarre talents, according to the president of development and original programming at Nickelodeon. And the original version was hosted by Olympic swimmer Summer Sanders and ran from 97 to 99, had 150 episodes. Now, new episodes will begin production in L.A. in April. 101 Ways to Leave a Game Show host Jeff Supin will serve as host on the new Figure It Out. Four celebrity panelists will have to guess the contestant's skill, asking yes or no questions for three rounds. Three or five after each round, the panel fails to guess correctly. If the panel failed to guess the talent, the contestant took home the grand prize. So my question to you is, with that now coming back, if you were the head of programming at Nickelodeon and you could bring back one show from Nickelodeon's past, what would it be?
I would bring back Legends of the Hidden Temple. Although the kids on Legends of the Hidden Temple always made me mad because it was like, really? I could do that. No, but yes, that would be my one show. Unfortunately, the one show I would want to bring back is not a Nickelodeon show. I would want to bring back Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego, mostly for the acapella group. Just for the acapella group. But no, yeah, that would be my one show. My one Nick show would be Legend of the Hidden Temple, followed closely by Global Guts, the Aggro Craig.
Oh. Yeah, real Craig. Yeah. <We'll remember that. laughs> I think if I had to bring back a Nickelodeon show, of course it had to be the one that the first ever Nickelodeon show I ever watched when we got cable, which was Double Dare.
Oh, yeah.
I would bring back and I would have like an even bigger, like even more nuttier physical challenges in the obstacle course, which would be like ridiculous. But I would like to make it like where it's like a big amount of money because you can't really do Space Camp anymore for a grand prize.
That's what I was just going to say. You got to bring back Space Camp then.
That's true. You don't do that anymore because of the whole NASA situation and you know, everything kind of cut back and stuff. But, it'd be something big, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think if I had a second show, if that one back. And I think after that one, I don't know why, but I think I would bring back, it was another favorite of mine, which was Funhouse. You know, where else can you mess up a room looking for clues in a big old house and not have to clean it up? So
this is true.
So that's my
but that's probably why we all grew up as slobs.
I know, right? Like,
we didn't have to clean up the fun house. Come on now.
Didn't have to do that. But that excuse never got past my parents, so good news.
Didn't work for me. But I tried.
I tried. But no. Now, I've got two technology stories for the price of one here today. The first one has to do with a Shut Up Now gun. Yes, I didn't just say that out of the blue, but a pair of researchers in Japan have developed a speech jammer, a prototype gun designed to compel people to stop talking without physically harming them. The gun is actually a directional speaker combined with an input microphone, a motherboard, software, all combined inside of a small box that can be either fixed or used as a portable device. It uses what's known as delayed auditory feedback, essentially turning people's own voices against them in disconcerting fashion to compel loudmouths to clear them up. The device was developed by a pair of scientists over in Japan. Now, the problem that the researchers are trying to solve was a cultural one. So in some cases, a person could simply overwhelm another, dominate a conversation like I am now for sheer volume, persisting when it is their turn to let others speak. But the researchers did not note the tried-and-true method used at the Academy Awards, of course, and similar music, that gradually increases the volume is deployed to play off those lengthy speeches. So this speech jammer, and I think Mary's seen it and I've seen it, it basically looks like a box, doesn't it?
Yeah, it looks like a old time remote, like the one button remote that you got.
Pretty much, and the researchers tried out two prototypes: one fixed and another portable, each using some combination of a directed speaker that could be operated at a distance, sound entered the system via a directional sensitive microphone, which were delayed via the software, and the delayed speech was shot back at the speaker. Now, did it work? The study found that the effect varied depending on the volume of the speaker's voice and the gain of the input and output of the microphone / speaker assembly. And they tried two scenarios, a spontaneous monologue as well as a case where the reader read news aloud. In the latter case, speech jammer was more effective, although the researchers did not speculate as to why. So, how about using that on the job, huh?
Oh, that'd be great. There are some people that I would shut up. Bink.
And speaking of shutting people off, this is where the second story kind of comes in at. If you haven't had service on your bus as of late, maybe you've been zapped by a cell phone jammer. A Philadelphia man has stirred up controversy after he frequently used a device on a public bus to create a cell phone dead zone. Now, a reporter for NBC 10 in Philadelphia recently tracked him down who was using a cell phone jammer on a bus to block wider cell phone reception. His reason? He didn't want to listen to other people's phone conversations. He says he turns on the illegal device whenever other passengers talk too loud and bother him. And he says, I guess I'm taking the law into my own hands, and quite frankly, I'm proud of him. Now, if you haven't seen what a jammer looks like, it looks similar to a walkie-talkie, and it has multiple antennas pointing out of the top of the device. Now, its job is to jam, block, or interfere with wireless communication, including Wi-Fi, cell phone reception, GPS, and police radar. So it's illegal to use. But I know it's illegal, but I'm giving a round of applause to that guy for doing something that I think all of us wish we could do.
If you've ever had public transportation, yes, absolutely. He is like the Robin Hood of the bus world.
Pretty much.
Giving us back
Pretty
our
much.
Silence. Where we could all sit and spill coffee on ourselves and read the paper. Oh, to be back in the quiet times.
I love that. But it's one of those where you know it's wrong, but it's like it's so funny. It's just like it's off.
It's great.
I've got nothing more to say. Yeah, I've got nothing more to say that. It's just awesome. Because I'm like, you know, when else can you do that and get away with it? So, Bravo to you, my friend. Bravo. before I go to my one last story of the day, and while we have a couple of minutes, I did want to take an opportunity here to wish a loyal listener to the show a very happy birthday. For purposes of protecting names, I'll just call him Vegas Ken. I know he's going to be listening to the show. And so I said today that I was going to do something that I've never done before. I actually had thought about playing, you know, Stevie Wonder's Happy Birthday, but that costs a little bit of money that we don't have. then I thought about playing the Beatles' Happy Birthday, but that would have been just as expensive. And then I would have thought about Mary and I just singing Happy Birthday, but the thing with that is that if we sing it, we owe the actual people money for actually doing that. So, in the 30 seconds that I will probably do this, I'm going to do something. I got the idea the other day because Mary's daughter is practicing how to play the recorder. And I don't know how to play a musical instrument, but I have been practicing. So I have my harmonica here, and I'm going to do something. I'm going to try and put this on speaker. I am going to attempt to try and play a quick harmonica piece for Ken's birthday. It's never been done. Not sure if it'll be done again, so hold on just a second. Bear with me.
I love it.
All right, that's enough. It's not a song. Happy birthday, Ken. Hope that came out loud and clear. And I don't know if that will ever be done again.
Marilyn Monroe, happy birthday. I'm not going to keep going because I'm going to start giggling. So.
And then finally, the last story I have before we leave out of here today, and I know Mary will love this one, but I always keep this. You know, in the past, we've all been guilty. Well, some people have been guilty of dining and dashing. It's probably happened. But the lesson here is that if you are going to dine and dash, you want to make sure that you do it when you don't get caught in a really bad way. Police in New Mexico recently arrested a man for allegedly attempting to pull a dine and dash at a restaurant that was hosting a police fundraiser. According to the Donna Anna County Sheriff's Office, the incident happened on March 1st at the Applebee's restaurant in Las Cruces. Alan Dolan ate dinner at the restaurant with two women and left without paying his entire bill, leaving a $30 balance. Now, Dolan might have gotten away with the alleged act had he not picked the restaurant that was holding a Tip-A-Cop fundraiser. During the event, the wait staff was replaced by local police officers who served patrons their dinners in an effort to raise money for the New Mexico Special Olympics. Authorities arrested Dolan and was charged with obtaining services less than $100. He was booked in Donna Anna County Detention Center on a $250 surety bond. Now, while hunger and stupidity might make for a dangerous combination, the sheriff's office was pleased to announce that the annual fundraiser event raised more than $3,000. Probably it would have been $3,030 if it wasn't for this guy being a fool and trying to walk out not paying.
Yay for the Special Olympics. Oh, my God, what an idiot.
That is awesome. You talk about bad timing.
Oh, my God, that's hilarious. That's hilarious. How can you not? Oh, my God, they advertise those. How could you not see it when you walked in? It's a Tip-A-Cup event.
Pretty much. It's like what you went for.
They don't keep it a secret. Hi, I'm a Tip-A-Cup. I've been to a place where I didn't know they were doing the Tip-A-Cup thing, but when they came up to the table, they said, hi, I'm blah, 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 I'm Officer blah, blah, blah. We're doing a Tip-A-Cup event. And I was like, oh, okay.
You were thinking this. And this guy happened to do it while they were doing the Tip-A-Cup event. So, yeah, to you, sir, I say, way to go.
Have you ever dined and dashed?
No, I have not, actually.
I did once on accident, but we'll talk about that later.
Oh. Yes, we'll have to. Well, actually, you know what? I kind of did, but I didn't. But it was because they were so slow, and all we had was our drinks, so we just left anyway, but we paid. But, yeah, I don't know. We'll all talk about that maybe sometime next week. 3 seconds. Any quick shout-outs?
Jason, First Class Auto, awesome guy. Get him to do your car.
Way to go. And there you go, Jason. Happy birthday. Yeah, happy birthday, kid. And, yeah, now do it. Clocking along. Now pulling us, they're coming at you with the that long pulley thingy. So that's telling us we got to go. So for Mary, Lavar, have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Peace.